Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you once again to this video. We got an interesting new development here on the channel. We're doing something today for the first time. We've never done it before. And that is I am going to be having a conversation with a guest. Don't judge us too harshly if this is our first time with something like this. I'm sure if we do it more often, we'll get more experience. But my guest today is my good friend, Nate Cuenga. Nate runs the Hope Under Fire YouTube channel, and you may have seen some of his videos. I've shared some here on the Grace Life YouTube channel and on Facebook. So, Nate, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you just tell everyone just a little bit about you and, you know, what your ministry interests are and so forth.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess the basics, my name is Nate Cuenga. I'm 35 years old, married to my wife, Kristen, for a little over 12 years now. Four children, three daughters, one son. As far as work by day, I'm a journeyman line worker by trade and a general foreman for one of the largest utility companies in Michigan. Ministry-wise, I've done a little bit of everything from helping out with little kids, junior church, up to being a youth pastor, janitor, you know, pretty much anything, door greeter, and everything in between. Worked a lot with security teams and stuff like that. But yeah, with the Hope Under Fire channel, I'm just really interested in the education, edification, encouragement of the body of Christ.
Yeah, so Nate and I have been friends now for a better part of a decade, and Nate attends Grace Life Bible Church when he's able, and so we're glad that you're able to join us here on the channel. So what Nate and I are going to be talking about is we're going to be giving some thoughts and going through some analyzing of some things that are very prevalent right now out in certain quarters of the internet related to the King James Bible. And we're going to be focusing on not only trying to say what these issues are, but also try to evaluate them logically, scripturally, and try to give people a prism through which to understand them. Now, because of the nature of what we're going to be doing, we just need to be upfront about it. Like, we are going to be talking about some different people and some different ministries and some of the ideas that those people have put on the table. And so we want to kind of frame this up by reading a couple verses and just offering a couple thoughts before we get into this, because we do want to be cognizant of the fact that we should be gracious and we don't want to be attacking people. We don't want to be engaging in ad hominems, and what we want to be doing is engaging with and analyzing ideas, not people. And so Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." And so Nate and I are going to be endeavoring through these conversations to have our speech be seasoned with salt and be trying to really focus on engaging the ideas. And then secondly, you know, there's an element of the ministry that is sometimes off-putting to certain people, and that is the idea that you have to, not only do you teach the truth positively, but sometimes you have to defend the truth against false things. And Paul addresses this in his epistles, and so it's something that a minister today needs to be cognizant of both things. And so to that end, we want to read Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, where Paul writes, "Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." And so there we just see Paul addressing the idea of there be needing from time to time to be things that need to be addressed and corrected, and so forth. And so that's what we're going to be endeavoring to do. So in this first video in the series we're going to be doing, we're going to endeavor to cover two points. Okay. Nate is going to take the lead on point one, and he's going to kind of introduce what we're after here, what our goals and aims are in producing these videos. And then I'm going to take the lead on a second point as we just sort of give some historical awareness of how we came to be aware of some of the issues related to this argumentation in pro-King James space. So, Nate, again, I'll just hand that over to you then as you kind of take us through the goals and aims and the introduction of what we want to cover in this series.
All right. So, yeah, As we kind of went back and forth on this, and this has gone on for a little while now, as you would send me stuff, I would play it in the living room and it'd be on the TV or something at night when the kids would go to bed and my wife would watch some of it with me and look at it. And she found it somewhat humorous from time to time and amusing that some of this stuff was going on. But one of the things she asked me is like, okay, well, what do you guys hope to accomplish with this? Like, if you're going to go forward with this, if you're going to make these videos, if you're going to do these responses, these people seem kind of out there. Nobody's going to listen to them, right? So what are you hoping to accomplish by even responding to this stuff? And so that kind of propelled us to think about, look, we have to have some purposes for this. We don't want to just go out there and just say whatever. We got to have something we're driving at. And so I have four main purposes that I wanted to look at in that, or what we hope to accomplish with doing these videos. The first one is just simply to bring light to that bad doctrine or those bad doctrines and attempt to show a better doctrine or a better way. So we looked at Colossians chapter 4. We're hoping to do that with our speech seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt, not necessarily just rubbing salt into wounds, but seasoned with it. And but it says that how you ought to answer every man. And so there is the side of it that an answer sometimes has to be given for this stuff. Unfortunately, that is the case. Some of the things that we're going to be looking at is the Apocrypha and asking whether or not the Apocrypha is scripture. That's one of the issues that's been coming up lately. And then more to like Brian and Dave Reed's book, the verbatim identicality issue, and when that's pushed too far, what sort of things you might run into. And we've been looking at a lot of Kabbalah stuff lately and Gematria stuff starting to creep in. And I think that's kind of an offshoot of that demanding verbatim identicality and then taking that even further down the rabbit hole.
I agree. The thing I would just say, I appreciate Kristen's concern. You know, what did we want to accomplish? But the reality is, unfortunately, that a lot of people are listening to this stuff. And it is affecting. And I've had people even in our church a couple months ago come to me with some questions about some of the things that have been raised by some of these videos.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, especially with the Kabbalah stuff and the Gematria stuff, this is not new stuff. This is ancient stuff. So it's not like this is like a brand new idea that's just cropping up and nobody's going to pay any attention to it. It's been around for millennia.
Yeah.
So the first reason to bring that bad doctrine to light and kind of expose it, the second issue that we're dealing with is bring awareness to possibly false teachers who either have gotten into the fundamental evangelical umbrella or more close to home have snuck their way into the mid-acts right division camp and have come in through different avenues and kind of expose that. And we're looking at Acts chapter 20 kind of with this, and this is one of the things I wanted to make a point about. So in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28, Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders that he's called over to Miletus, and he tells them, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears." And I brought this passage up to the men's Bible study I help with on Friday nights, and just kind of asked the question, like, when is the last time from a pulpit you heard an elder or pastor or a bishop or whatever they call them at your church get up and honestly talk about this issue of false teachers, false doctrine, false prophets with tears, warning you night and day for 3 years? Paul obviously saw this as a serious issue that it wasn't just something you sweep under the rug. You know, Paul's pretty big on sometimes naming names even and calling people out specifically for specific sins, for specific doctrines or specific actions and attitudes. So, yeah, unfortunately, like you said, this is that nasty side of the coin of ministry where, you know, we'd love to just talk about the gospel all the time in a positive light, see people get saved, see them come to a knowledge of the truth, see them come into right division. That'd be great. But unfortunately, the reality is this is going to come not only from the outside into the church, but from within the church itself. And I think in the context, even amongst the ranks of the church leadership there in, when he's talking to the Ephesian elders, he says of your own selves. And I think he means the body of Christ, but also even the church leadership. So we want to bring some awareness to that. Anything to add before I go to the next one?
Yeah, just that, you know, with the internet and what we're doing here right now, even and YouTube and just all the avenues that people have, like, it used to be that it take you months or a long time to hear about some doctrine that was being taught in some church on the other side of the country, on the other side of the world. Now it's like right in your living room, you know, within 24 hours. And so it's all the more important then to sort of make sure that we are, you know, careful about what we're allowing ourselves to listen to and give ear to. So, yeah, I and it's easier than ever, you know, for things to creep into a house. Paul talks about that in the pastoral epistles, right? So, yeah, that's number three, Nate.
It doesn't have to creep in. We throw the door open and ask.
Yeah, you just pipe it right in. What's your third?
Yeah, third. Third is kind of one of the things I've been focused on lately on my channel, on my shorts and stuff like that, and that's in deception detection or manipulation detection. How do I detect when I'm being taken for a ride or somebody's trying to take advantage of me? And so I looked at Colossians 3:9, which says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds. Deception is one of those things that for the Christian is unacceptable, and especially from Christian to Christian, that's not something that God is ever pleased with. This is not something we should be conducting, but unfortunately it happens quite often, and sometimes we're pretty good at it as well, unfortunately. But I also had Titus 1:9, which we alluded to earlier, and there was a couple things in that. So holding fast, this would be Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word, which as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they that are of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And there's a lot in there. Number one, he's talking about, again, these deceivers. Within the ranks of Christians, and this is not just from the outside, but within the ranks of the body of Christ, there are these deceivers who teach these things. They're unruly, they're talkers, they're deceivers. Their mouths must be stopped, Paul says. They subvert whole houses. And so part of Timothy's ministry and part of the bishop's ministry is to stop that doctrine from getting into the church and spreading and causing houses to go astray. But it also says they're doing this for filthy lucre's sake. And filthy lucre, a lot of people just think that means, you know, gain of money, but it could be base gain of a whole lot of things. It could be money. It could be titles. It could be authority. It could be adoration. I want everyone to look at me and admonish me or adore me, basically. So it could be any reason where I'm just seeking ministry for every wrong reason possible. And so how are we going to see through that with people? How are we going to see through the facade? Because, you know, like Paul says, and Christ says too, these wolves in sheep's clothing, the whole point of, you know, camouflage is to not be seen. The whole point of putting on deception is to not be caught. So how do you catch them? And so we'll talk about some of those. And do you want me to just run down through this whole list or?
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you cover that.
Yeah, we'll briefly cover some of these and then we'll, as we go through the videos, we'll kind of highlight when these things are cropping up and make point of it. But one of the things that you'll see in people who are deceptive is resume building. So resume building is basically any time that I try to talk about myself or build myself up, especially when it's unsolicited. So Brian asked me at the beginning, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself or tell the audience a little bit about yourself. So for me to start talking about myself is not that crazy because someone asked me about it. But if Brian and I are talking back and forth, and he says, well, I think A, and I say, well, I think B, and Brian starts just going off talking about his accreditations and his degrees and his association with certain people or something like that without ever engaging the argument, it's probably some form of deception or manipulation where I'm building myself up so the audience thinks I'm super smart and I don't have to deal with your argumentation anymore. I can just tell you how great I am and now you can listen to me. So that comes in.
Yeah, it's really a form of an appeal to authority.
Right. And I'm constructing my own authority and right. appeal. So I might talk about education, experience, my authority figurehead. I could bring in character witness statements, talk about how humble I am, how giving I am, how charitable I am. I could talk about our name dropping. You know, I know so-and-so. We all know this. Like when that one guy at work that never stops talking about the time he met so-and-so, and it's his claim to fame because he shook somebody's hand or something. And it's annoying. But when it comes in that argumentation form where we're arguing back and forth about something and they're just like, well, you know, I was with so-and-so, I'm with so-and-so. They're really, again, that appeal to authority. Maybe they think you think that guy's authoritative in your life, so they're going to appeal to that person to kind of break the tie. This could come from people just going out on the internet and attacking people unsolicited. You know, they've never done anything to them. They've never said anything bad to them. They never even took up a position against them or anything like that. But they go out and not just, I disagree with this person. I disagree what they did. I disagreed with their actions or attitude or arguments, but I'm going to slander them. I'm going to lie about them. I'm going to, you know, try to discredit them publicly, even though they've done nothing to me. This could come with inconsistencies. There's two types of major inconsistencies. Internal, where I say something, a statement, and I say another statement, and they just don't go together. That's one form of inconsistency we look for. The other form is that, especially in conflict, we know that character is revealed in conflict. So if we are pushing back on somebody and their reaction does not look like a reasonable reaction, that's an inconsistency with what we would call like the reasonable man standard. How would a normal, rational, adult person who's in control of their emotions, who's in control of their mental state, how would they react to a little bit of criticism? Would they fly off the handle into these crazy ad hominem attacks and screaming and all that kind of stuff? No, that's not how, you know, somebody who's mature and in control of their emotions act. Even with an enemy, you can at least hold a certain amount of professionalism most of the time if you're rational. And you're not trying to hide anything. So another one is just unanswered questions versus failure to answer, which are two types. Failure to answer is like the politicians. We all know this, where they're asked a question and they're like, oh, that's a really excellent question. Let me answer that question. And here's how I'm going to answer that question when I get to answering that question. And eventually they never answer the question. They pretend like they're going to, but they don't really answer the question. The other side is not answering at all. Now, that may be nefarious when it's they never answer any questions. So every time you ask them, they say, let's circle back to that later. Let's circle back to that later. Now, sometimes it's perfectly fine. You and I both have had that where someone asks us a question and either we're ignorant of a response to it or we know very little about it. And so we're like, yeah, I'd rather not publicly give my opinion on that until I've had a chance to look at it. Right. That's fine. So long as that's not the go-to every time forever. Then if they never answer anything, we know, okay, there's something up. They never want to answer a question. Just-so stories. So just-so stories are those unsubstantiated claims. We just say whatever we want, and we don't have to back it up. You're just supposed to believe me. The sky is green. Don't look it up. Don't worry about it. We're going to move forward. Just take that as a fact, and we're moving. Double standards, the rules for thee but not for me. We saw this with some stuff with the Apocrypha and with your guys' book where certain individuals thought that it was inappropriate to use the translator's opinion because they're not authoritative, which is true, and because they're not inspired, which is also true. But then turn right around and use it when it benefits them and their position. So those are things we have to look at. Like if it's that double standard rule, we have all probably experienced this at some point with a relationship that we've had where they have expectations of you that they never intend to keep for themselves.
Right.
Yep. You ever had that?
Oh, yeah.
So projection, projecting insecurities or projecting your own intentions or malicious intentions or something onto somebody else, and you say, well, you just do this or that when really you're the one doing it. Again, the misrepresentation, misquotation kind of stuff comes up a lot with this. Bait and switch. This is kind of where I will bait you into a conversation where I know I won't necessarily win that argument, but then when you start to engage me, I switch to something completely different. It's kind of like a moving the goalpost sort of fallacy. And we see that gaslighting. Obviously, gaslighting is a really nefarious form of manipulation that I try to get you to believe you're the problem when really I'm the problem. So it's off that movie from way back when about gaslighting, where the husband, when the wife would leave the room, he would turn off the gas lamps. And when she would come back in and say, oh, I thought they turned those on, he would say, no, those have been off the whole time. What are you talking about? You must be losing your mind. And so he was slowly trying to get her to believe she was the problem and she was going crazy.
Yeah, another one that you just jogged my mind on is the whole idea of projection, projecting onto somebody else what that person is themselves doing.
Correct.
You didn't have that on the list, but I just thought of that as you were going through there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that one's a big one, too. That's one of those flags that somebody's messing with you is when you suspect that they're doing something and then they accuse you of doing it, that's what projection usually is. So, you know, if I think they're lying, they're not being truthful with me, and then they turn around, they say, well, you must be lying to me. You know, they're projecting that back onto you. And that also can be gaslighting as well when they're trying to get you to believe that you are the one actually doing this thing. The last one I had here is that and a lot of cults do this, is asking their adherents to their followers to abandon reason or logic. Just have faith. Don't worry about how what I just said makes no sense whatever. Don't worry about how it breaks the laws of logic or math or physics or whatever. Just trust. Just have faith. If you're a good believer, you'll just follow along. Be a good sheep. Do what you're told. So asking your people to abandon good reason, sound logic, that's another major red flag. So that's with those. And then we get to the fourth purpose. Before we do that, you got any last comments on that?
No, I think you have a good list here. And really, you know, to just sort of summarize it, you're just talking about really engaging in orderly, sensible dialogue about topics and being able to spot when people wander into the weeds and don't hold themselves to the standards that they're trying to hold other people to.
Right. And it's starting to recognize when we have left the path and we're going down into a ditch. How do I see that before it happens? And these are some of the ways. So that was the third purpose. The fourth purpose then, which is kind of coming from Matthew chapter 7, which is the most misquoted scripture of all time, which is the judge not passage that every non-Christian loves to use. But is Matthew 7 verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, there is a beam, or a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. And this is kind of that final warning before we get into all this, that one of the things you have to do, even with that list that I just read through, is first internalize that stuff and say, look, am I struggling with some of these issues myself? Do I commit these sins myself? Like the Bible says, you who, you know, say you keep the law, do you break the law yourselves? You know, are you going to first start in your own heart and say, okay, am I doing some of this? And then the other ditch is where we take what we're going to be talking about and we only apply it to people over there. Those people need to hear this. Those people are the problem. And we're not consistent in Are we going to assess ourselves, and are we going to assess even some of the teachers and leaders that we like in particular, rather than the ones I don't like or don't prefer? That's easy. So the fourth one is a call for people to be consistent in their application of judgment, consistent internally to yourself and to leaders that you like or you follow, as well as some of these other leaders out there, and not just throw everything at people that you don't agree with.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good advice, regardless of, you know, what topic you're applying it to. It's something that is, you know, believers need to be cognizant of, you know, all the time, really.
Right.
So I appreciate you bringing us through that introduction, Nate, and kind of laying out some of the purposes that we're going to have as we try to go through this. And so that kind of brings, I guess, us around to my part of this, first video.
Yeah,
and that is, this is where we're going to start talking about specifically a teacher and their teaching. And again, I want to try to do this with grace, seasoned with salt. And the reason I say that is because I myself, I feel, have been greatly mischaracterized and misrepresented recently, on some things that I've written about and spoken about. And so I don't want to turn around and do the same thing to somebody else that I feel has been done to me. And so as we start talking about, you know, Gary Roverino, so there's the name of the person that we're going to be talking about in this point. I want to offer evidence. I want to offer links and proof and put all of that, you know, in the description underneath this video so that people can go and look for themselves and check out what's being said and decide for themselves, you know, whether or not anything that we're saying or doing is, you know, in fact, misrepresenting the case. And so let's get into the point then, and that is awareness of Gary Roverino. So I'm going to be presenting my screen here. I first heard of Gary Roverino in March of this year. Okay. In March of this year, I first heard of Gary Roverino. And the way I heard about him is that Paul Lucas from Hillview Baptist Church posted on their YouTube channel from a meeting that he was a partaker of at the King James Bible Museum in Phoenix, Arizona. You can see these two videos right here. King James Bible Museum, Gary Part 1, and King James Bible Museum, Gary Part 2. These are posted on the Hillview Baptist YouTube channel, and this was when I first became aware of Gary Roverino in March of this year, okay? And so in March, I also realized, so I'm going to stop sharing this screen, and I'm going to share a different screen, so the tech we're using is a little bit wonky that way. But in March, I also realized that Gary wrote a book, and adjust this? Can you see that scrolling?
Yeah, it's scrolling.
Okay. So you can see right here, Concealed from Christians for the Glory of God. That's this book right here. So as soon as I learned about Gary in March, I purchased his first book, Concealed from Christians for the Glory of God, and this was written in 2019, okay? And I wanted to read the book. And around the same time, I'd say March, early April, I started getting some questions from people at church. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Have you seen this teaching on Paul Lucas's YouTube channel? And I, of course, had seen some of it, and so I started to investigate it a little bit more, okay? So what we have up here on the screen right now is we have the AV Publications website. This is the website of Gale Ripplinger, and this is under the category of Other King James Authors. And you can see right here that Gary's book, Concealed from Christians, is sold by Gale Ripplinger on the author on the AV Publications website.
Mm-hmm.
And his book is sold along with books by other King James only authors, Samuel Gipp, Lawrence Vance, Joey Foss, Jack Mormon, Jack McElroy, Kyle Stevens, among others. Gale sells these books. And I want to direct your attention right here to this statement. It says, looking for quality content from other KJV authors, well, look no further. Here are even more books and resources from other KJV authors that you can trust, enjoy, and grow with. Mm-hmm. So Gail Riflinger is endorsing Gary's book. She's selling Gary's book, and she's, you know, saying that this is a trusted author and a source for information and material on the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. Did you want to interject?
The only thing I would point out on this screen is notice the amount of things for sale, because that's important for a point, I think, later. Go up to the top. No, just to the top, to the right under other KJV authors in red and resources, the showing. Here? Showing. Yeah. But notice how many total things she has for sale. It's only 32. She's only selling 32, not her work. These are other works. Besides hers, it's only 32 entries. So I kind of want to make a point about that, because later that comes up where this is, it's not possible she's not aware of what's in that book. She's had to have read it. There's only 32 entries.
Yeah, and she's saying that it's the source amongst all the rest of these that you can trust. So she's more than just selling this. She's endorsing it as a trustworthy thing that bears the approval of AV Publications.
Right.
Okay? So I learned of that shortly after seeing the videos on the Hillview Bible, the Hillview Baptist Church website. I bought the book. And then in April, so I'm going to stop sharing that, and I'm going to start sharing. Let me see here. This one? Nope. Hang on. Sorry. This one.
No, all good.
In April of this year, Gary traveled with Paul Lucas and a team from Hillview Baptist Church to England on a missions trip. Fine. Great. Good on them for going on a missions trip, et cetera. Okay. And it was during this trip that Gary taught his infamous handwriting on the wall message in the home of an Englishman. So you can see that they don't have a whiteboard here, and he's actually writing on the wall.
He's handwriting on the wall.
Man. Yeah. And he's talking about information related to numerology, related to miracles, wonders, and signs in the King James Bible, related to the content of his book, as well as what he had talked about in the two messages from the King James Bible Museum from March, the month before. Okay. So what happened then is throughout the summer, so I'm gaining information, and then throughout the summer, I continue to watch, I'm going to show you these as well. I continue to watch Gary's videos, both here on his YouTube channel, okay, Above God's Name, and you can see there's a cover of his book right there. And so I was watching a bunch of his videos and talking back and forth with you and some of my other ministry friends and colleagues about these videos. So not just there, but also here at the King James Bible Museum, which is Gary's other channel. And so the reason I'm going through this meticulously the way I am is I want to show the audience that we have been aware of what Gary is arguing and have been watching this happen now for a number of months before we're now sitting down here to record a conversation about this.
So that's the point at which you told me, I went back through my text messages and found it. You had first sent me one of his videos. It had been Monday, August 12th, 2024. So that's when I first was introduced to him from you, was back in August of this year.
Okay.
So that was my first exposure to his videos or
so that's time that you know triangulates with the timing here. So I don't want to claim that I've watched every video, but I've watched almost all of the videos here on these channels, because I needed to get my arms around what exactly is being argued here and what is the basis, you know, for the argumentation. Okay, so let's just recap. I found out about Gary in March of this year.
Yep.
I watched his videos on the Hillview Baptist Church website. I ordered his first book, and Sealed from Christians for the Glory of God. Okay, I watched his April recording, Handwriting on the Wall message from England. Throughout the summer, I was watching the Above God's Name and the King James Bible Museum YouTube channels. And in there, I was beginning to field some questions from some of the folks at church who were aware of Gary through Paul Lucas. So Paul Lucas is a Mid-Ax teacher, and Paul Lucas is partnering with Gary, and so Gary's views on the King James Bible are coming then into a rightly divided sort of Pauline grace message space through Hillview Baptist Church and Paul Lucas, okay? And then in September, Gary spoke at a Bible conference, the Hillview Baptist Church Bible Conference, in September of this year, and he preached this message here, okay, where he talked about more numerology and more, you know, of his sort of brand of King James Bible defense. And I also watched all of the other messages, and many of the speakers at the Hillview Conference also spoke and added a bunch of stuff about Bible numerology into their messages, and it was very clear that they had been influenced by Gary, in some cases even publicly appealing to Gary, who was sitting in the audience. And so there's been a very large influence. Gary has very largely influenced the men who are associated and affiliated with Paul Lucas. Mm-hmm. So that's September, okay? Then on Sunday, September 29, Gary taught a lesson on his YouTube channel called, so this was prior to him leaving for England for 6 weeks, to fulfill his calling that he claims he has, mm-hmm. to bring the King James Bible back to Israel through England. So he views himself as something of an apostle who God has called to take the King James Bible back to Israel through England for God's sort of end time culmination of things. And so Gary thinks this is his calling to do this.
Okay.
And so he talks about this in this video here. Again, this is September 29, straight out of Apocrypha found in the New Testament. And in this message, Gary flat out argues that the Apocrypha is scripture, that Jesus and the apostles quote the Apocrypha in the New Testament, and he infers, and we'll look at this later on when we look at quotes from this message in a different episode in our conversation, but he infers very strongly that aspects of the Pauline revelation were hidden or were hidden in the Apocrypha.
Yeah.
And now he's going to bring that out and show the audience how when the Lord Jesus Christ, while Paul is in Arabia for 3 years, is showing him Pauline doctrine out of the Apocrypha.
Yeah. Yeah. And like we talked about a little bit earlier, that this is starting to gain traction, like this, the numerology stuff, but also the Apocrypha stuff. Even back in February 5th, you did a video on the Apocrypha and started that video series. And we're going back and forth with that SoCal Preston guy who later in February had a debate on that, arguing that the Apocrypha should go back into the 1611, that you should be preaching and teaching out of the Apocrypha. And I think he stopped short of saying it was inspired, but he definitely said you need it in the Bible and you should be teaching and preaching it.
Well, but he also, SoCal Preston also argued that Christ was quoting from the Apocrypha.
Yeah.
So your point, I think, is
that guy or not, but obviously it's in the broader evangelical fundamentalist camp.
I think SoCal Preston would claim to be somewhat of a dispensationalist.
Right.
I don't know what stripe of dispensationalist he is, but the point there being is that this is not an isolated.
Right.
This is not an isolated thing to just Gary. It's
right.
There's other King James Bible believers, King James advocates, who are also dispensational,
yep.
who are now trying to sort of like bring the Apocrypha back, if you will.
Yeah.
Make it cool again or so, something like that. So, did you have anything else you want to say about that earlier exchange or not?
I mean, just, you know, obviously I think we'll talk about that more as we get into unpacking the Apocrypha stuff. But I mean, that goes back again to February of this year where you made those videos.
Yeah. We'll leave a link in the description to the videos, that previous set of five videos mm-hmm. on the Apocrypha. And then so that was in September that he taught that. Okay. And then on November 4, earlier this month, okay, Gary made a video. He recorded it from a pub in England where he is announcing the release. He made a video here, book release, Call of God to Translate the King James Bible, where he announces the publication of his second book, okay? And immediately after I saw the video, I went out and I bought the second book. And I am pretty much done with it. There's a couple things I need to reread. So I've purchased that. I will also leave a link in the description for where somebody can buy that. But here it is for sale at Lulu, direct from the publisher. You can buy it in an EPUB format or in a paperback.
You know that picture disqualifies him from trying to peddle this to the Baptist King James guys, because you could see all the beer bottles in the background. They would have a fit.
Well, you would know about that from your former...
He has to peddle this stuff to the mid-axe people who believe in liberty and grace, because the Baptists would lose their mind over that.
Yeah, you can't do anything spiritual in a pub, I suppose.
No.
So I guess that sort of brings me then to kind of... So I went through that meticulous awareness of Gary to establish the fact that we are not entering into a conversation about Gary's teaching without having read his books, watched his videos, listened carefully to what he has said, okay, about a variety of different topics. And frankly, we're concerned. There are major alarm bells here, major reasons for concern. It's very concerning to me how many people seem to be just, you know, subscribing to this line of argumentation and thought in defense of the King James Bible without seemingly giving it a ton of thought.
Right. Yeah, it's that we do this a lot. I think it's human nature when we already agree with somebody about a position. So King James, there's a lot of us here who are pro King James, and we hear somebody say King James a whole bunch of times, and so we just think they're safe. And we just kind of switch our brain off and then accept anything that's really thrown at us. And that's that, you know, I'm going to keep going back to that cult mentality, but that's called conditioning. You know, once you've built those bridges of trust, you're being conditioned to accept bigger and bigger lies down the road. And it usually gets worse over time.
And I have to just say, in my observations of reading the two books, the second one is much more.
Yeah.
Outlandish and in your face and how it is going about setting the information before the reader in a way that the first book, in my opinion, was not.
Right.
The last point I would make before we, you know, have any concluding thoughts or what have you is this. The reality is that Gary's teaching on the King James Bible has made inroads into the Mid-Axe Rite Division assemblies, through his partnership with Paul Lucas and Hillview Baptist Church. It seems to me as an outsider that Hillview Baptist has completely signed on to what Gary is, at least so far. I haven't seen anything where they've backed off or, you know, anything along those lines. But so because Hillview Baptist Church has promoted Gary, had Gary at their conference, preached with Gary, went overseas with Gary, been to Gary's museum, people in the Mid-Axe Rite Division space have begun to embrace this stuff about the King James Bible and in an uncritical way. And to me, this is extremely troubling. This is extremely disheartening. And this is one of the main motivations why we think it's important to cover a conversation about this series of videos.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. It's a call to please don't switch your brains off just because you like somebody or like the message that they might be bringing.
And we should add to that, Nate, like, 'cause what'll happen is, you know, inevitably folks who don't agree with us or don't like us will see this video and they'll say, well, you guys aren't real Bible believers.
Sure.
You know, you guys aren't real King James Bible believers, because if you were, you would see that everything that Gary is saying is a miracle, that it's this, you know, infallible, irrefutable proof that the King James 1611, you know, is not only inspired by God, but that it is the Bible that is at the right hand of God and was present with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and all sorts of other stuff that Gary argues in the second book released this month. And so we are King James. I'm a King James Bible believer. I believe the King James is God's word for English-speaking people. I don't believe there's any errors or mistakes in it. I believe it has all the right readings that it should include. And as an English-speaking Christian, it is my final authority as a preacher, as a teacher, and as a member of the body of Christ. And so,
agree fully.
What's that?
I said I agree fully with that.
And I just think it's important, because that's going to be the retort. The retort is going to be, well, if you really had spiritual eyes, you would understand this advanced revelation that we're trying to give you here.
Yeah, and I think we'll cover that sort of, that shallow, pedantic sort of argumentation. It's sophomoric. It's not a good argument. And I think we'll show that that's just one of those deception signs. That is a mark of cult psychology. Everybody who ever has any criticism of you, you just say they're probably possessed of devils or something, and then you move on.
Right. Well, that kind of brings us, Nate, to the end of our agenda for this first video.
Yep.
Did you have any closing thoughts you wanted to offer to the listener?
I think this is a serious matter. I think we need to take it seriously. I know it's going to upset some people that we're doing this. A lot of people want to see peace. They want to see unity. We want unity as well, but not at the expense of truth. Truth and love, but truth goes over top of unity if we have to choose one or the other. We're going to go with God versus just trying to make peace with the world or peace with some of these things that aren't right.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, I guess that brings us to the end of this talk, Nate. And so you guys that are viewing, make sure you avail yourself of the links in the description. There will be links to all of the videos that we referenced, where you can buy Gary's books, where you can listen to the teaching and access it for yourself. Don't just take our word for anything. That is certainly not what we are after or what we stand for.
Yeah.
So appreciate everybody tuning in. And before you leave, as always, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, his death for you on the cross, his shed blood as the total complete payment for your sin, satisfied the offended justice of God against sin so that the Father could offer us eternal life as a free gift, and that Christ was buried and rose again the third day, trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.